the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. We are coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. So happy to have you along with us. Greg Bach with me in studio. Kelvin is on the board, and it is our last day that we are being joined by the one, the only, our friend and colleague, the fantastic Todd Alba. How are you, sir?
It's bittersweet, I'll be honest. But Jane, Greg, Kelvin, a fine Monday morning to you. It just makes me, it warms my heart. It gets me in the holiday spirit to be with you three lovely people who have the spirit of the holiday season.
Well, next Monday is Christmas. Next Monday is Christmas Day. And then the Monday after that is New Year's Day. And so I cannot thank you enough, Todd, for having joined us and joined the show. Wow, look at that outside. It is snowing.
Is it snowing there?
It's,
wow.
Yes, it's, like, and blowing like crazy.
I'd say it's frightful.
The weather outside is frightful. It is frightful.
Or
it is.
Just annoying.
But anyway, I really appreciate you joining us all these Mondays.
Well, it's been a blast.
While Kristen has been gone, it's really been a lot of fun, and it was great to see you at our holiday bash over the weekend. How late did you stay up?
I think you outlasted me.
Did I?
Because William Walter and Jane and I were chatting, and then Jane went to take shots at the bar or something. I don't know what happened.
Jane. More, Todd. Give us more.
Yeah. There may have been shots involved.
I really didn't know that Jane had it in her. I mean, once she got on top and was dancing on the bar, I mean, it was Katie bar the door at that point.
Yes. But,
oh, boy.
That was quite the spectacle. No, there was no dancing on the bar.
There was no dancing. I think I excused myself, and I think maybe you and your husband, I mean, you were holding down the fort with Brian Kelly and some of these other folks.
Chris Casper, who was dressed up as Buddy the Elf, which was wonderful. Yes, and... I know Rebecca was one of the late night ones. I finally went to bed around 2. My husband didn't get back into the room until 3. So I don't know what Brian Kelly and Buddy the Elf and those rabble rousers did with my husband. But
They roused rabbles,
and a good time was had by all.
Thanks to CEO and owner Sage Weil for putting all that on. I mean, Zoom meetings are fine, get information out, but I don't think that it replaces that human contact. You know, just talking to someone in person and all being together. So it speaks largely of what this company is about, to have a unified mission moving into 2024.
Yeah, most definitely, and you're right. Thank you, Sage Weil, and Civic Media for footing the bill for all of that. Yeah. All right, we're going to start off with the fake elector scheme in Wisconsin. And the former GOP chairman, Andrew Hitt, and one of the so-called fake electors was on up front on WISN over the weekend with Matt Smith, and essentially says that they were duped and it was a trick and they, you know, feel bad now.
Well, sure. and by the way, I know there's some stuff in the background here. I'm going to try to mute myself when I'm not talking. But here's the deal. The world headquarters of Civic is on the second floor on State Street. The bottom floor, there used to be an Associated Bank, and they're jackhammering the vault out right now.
Oh, my God.
So I'm sitting here right above this constant vibration and noise. Quite frankly, I'm enjoying it. But anyway, I'm gonna. If you hear something in the background, that's what's going on. So I apologize.
Can't hear the jackhammering so far.
And in the basement of that building, the lovely comedy club on stage, run by wonderful individuals. Please book me. Thank you.
Well, speaking of jokes, how about Andrew Hitt, the former party chairman, to the point of this story?
Boom.
And here's the interesting thing. All things lead back to Richland Center. Just like Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of separation at Richland Center. Andrew Hitt and I grew up in the same town, Richland Center. I had his dad for high school algebra. His mom used to babysit me, and we went to the same church, Peace United Methodist Church. So I know this guy pretty well. And here's the thing. I think the great reporting over the weekend there on Upfront in conjunction with politics. Look, I don't know Andrew Hitt well. I mean, he's not a friend or anything, but he's certainly an acquaintance. I don't know his family. He's an attorney in a prominent law firm, Deloitte or whatever the hell it's called, and he was one of Governor Scott Walker's attorneys. So the guy is not intellectually stupid, right? And so what he said over the weekend was, oh, we were tricked. The fake electors were, if we had only known, we were led astray. I don't believe that for a second, but here's the thing I do believe. That Andrew Hitt and all these other people, well, at least Andrew Hitt and a couple others, they did know what they're doing, and now under oath, when their own rear ends are on the line, they are telling the truth. And I think that that is critical to keep in mind here. And the fact that, you know, he's saying that Kenneth Chesbro, Trump's former attorney, was in the room. I mean, Andrew Hitt may end up testifying in the Trump trial with Jack Smith as the prosecutor here. He also says he's going to, Hitt says he's going to cooperate. He says that he has not, I thought this was interesting, has not talked to anybody in the state. So we'll see if the Attorney General Josh Call is doing an investigation or not.
Right.
And then finally, he says, quote, under no circumstances, unquote, would he vote for Trump, nor will he go to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee. So now we have Andrew Hitt, the former Republican Party chairman, saying that he will not endorse Trump nor attend the convention if Trump is the nominee, as well as former Republican Speaker of the House from Janesville, Wisconsin, Paul Ryan, calling him an authoritarian narcissist, Trump, and saying that he will not. So, I mean, if you're Brian Schimming, the current chair of the Republican Party, if you're Derek Van Orten, if you're Scott Fitzgerald, if you're Glenn Grothman, you're either with Andrew Hitt and Paul Ryan, or you're with Trump. You can't be with both.
Well, but Reince Priebus over the weekend, I call him Reince. It's not Reince, it's Reince. Reince Priebus over
the weekend.
Reince and repeat.
Oh, nicely
Reince,
done.
Reince Priebus was on, I think, MSNBC or CNN over the weekend singing the, I mean, he loves Trump. He's all in, man. And I don't know, Todd, Trump Republicans don't respect Paul Ryan.
Well, that's the thing. I think that Trump leadership, MAGA leadership, no longer respects Paul Ryan. But here's the thing. All across Wisconsin, in small towns, rural, and in some large towns, there are more fiscal-type conservative Republicans that still do respect Paul Ryan. And I think the fact that Paul Ryan and now Andrew Hitt, stalwarts, these are not, you know, quote-unquote snowflakes or lefties. These are conservative people who are now coming out and telling the truth and saying, look, this guy is dangerous. And I think that does still matter to some mainstream Republicans who aren't part of the MAGA movement.
You make a good point. We do have a clip from Andrew Hitt appearing on WISN Up Front with Matt Smith.
Let's talk about the settlement that you just reached. We walked through some of the details of that. You've also agreed to fully cooperate with any federal DOJ investigations. I'm curious from your perspective, what did you admit in this settlement?
You know, settlement negotiations went very well. The things we agreed to, we just viewed as true. Joe Biden won this election. It's pretty clear now that we didn't know that there was this ulterior motive, this different plan. And it's clear now, too, that, you know, those documents were used on January 6th to at least, at the very least, help create the chaos of that day.
Let's talk about the day itself. December 14th, it's going to be 3 years ago, this past week. In that moment, when you walked into that room, what did you and the other electors think you were doing?
Well, you know, we had been very careful to talk to our lawyers here in Wisconsin. Longtime Republican Party of Wisconsin lawyers. We didn't talk to the Trump campaign lawyers. We didn't talk to Rudy Giuliani. We didn't talk to lawyers who we didn't know or didn't trust. We talked to our RPW longtime outside counsel. He independently looked at this issue and said, you guys have to meet. If the Trump campaign wins a lawsuit in Wisconsin and you don't meet, we will have completely forfeited the president winning Wisconsin. So we viewed what we were doing as simply a contingency plan. The documents we signed would have no meaning unless a court gave them meaning.
Okay, that was Andrew Hitt speaking to Matt Smith on WISN on the Upfront program over the weekend. That seems really disingenuous to me.
I think it's, again, someone who, and I've never really been in a room with Andrew Hitt where he was, quote unquote, working or showing his legal prowess. From what I know, I think he's probably a good attorney and knows the law really well. I can tell you, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, they have some really great attorneys at their disposal. That response to me sounded like something that had been practiced 100 times in a room with attorneys so that he could come across as sounding, you know, look, he didn't stumble there. He probably said that 100 times behind closed doors, but they have parsed that out to make sure that he's not incriminating himself in a potential criminal trial while still not lying under oath in a civil trial. So this is legal parlance. Somebody like Matt Flynn and Maggie Dawn could probably speak to it better.
Sure.
But that to me sounded like something that was very, very well parsed out.
I think you make a great point.
Yeah. I mean, he goes on the Sunday shows. He's going to say that over and over and over and over again. But it's not going to make him sound any less dumb. Because that's the thing is, Todd, you say that you know him. You know that he's not intellectually stupid. But when you get on television, you say, we were duped, we were hornswoggled, then it makes you sound dumb. Because
most people aren't going to believe it, to your point, but yeah. I'm just saying that's part of his legal defense, right? I mean, and this is to both your points, this whole thing that, look, we had to do this to preserve our right, this is not something that's unique to Wisconsin. We see this played out in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. in Michigan, and other. This is a national narrative for these folks, and their defense is, we were trying to protect our constitutional right. We don't have time to get all the details, but basically what they were trying to do is run out the clock, delay Pence and the Congress from certifying the election in hopes that it would go to the U.S. Supreme Court where there's a Trump majority and they could quote unquote win or overturn the election that way.
Yep, absolutely. Stay with us. Todd Alba is here from the Todd Alba Show. You can catch it across the Civic Media Network from noon to 2, Monday through Friday. When we return, wow, consequences in Florida, at least the beginning of consequences.
Yes.
We'll have all the details coming up. Stay with us. You're listening.
I'm so excited.
You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Hello, Wausau, listening on WXCO Bull Falls Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board. And Todd Alba, the Todd Father, joining us for the last Monday appearance on As Goes Wisconsin. So glad to have you along, Todd. And go ahead.
It's like a sign. It's like, you know, what basically my last appearance on this Monday show is like a crocus in the winter snow.
And
because you know a crocus because you know that summer, that spring is coming. And with my final appearance, you know we're one step closer to the return of Kristen Bry.
Absolutely. Kristen is going to be back in January, and we're all very, very excited about that. And ready to have her back. What's the snow, the crocus in the snow?
There's a crocus in the snow, which brings better days.
Not to say that the two of you have been winter. I'm just saying that, you know.
I take my leave and wish upon you warmer dreams and wishes.
The dark days when Kristen was gone. That's fine, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
That's not the point at all.
Submit this to WBA for an award. Best downers in radio.
The whole goal was never, we just didn't want to crash the show while she was gone. Anyway.
Been great.
Moving along. Consequences in Florida, pretty remarkably. You will remember, of course, that the Florida GOP party chairman, Christian Ziegler, and his wife, one of the co-founders of Moms for Liberty, were caught engaging in a three-way sex thing, and then he allegedly raped the woman who was involved in their three-way. And I saw originally over the weekend that he was trying to get them to pay him off.
Yes.
To what? It was like $2 million. He wanted,
yes.
Christian Ziegler wanted $2 million in order to go away.
He was called out in social, and I believe in a newspaper as well, the quote from a source saying that Christian Ziegler asked in an email for $2 million from Republican fundraisers to go away, or donors to go away. And he had the audacity to say, no, that's not true at all. That's fake news. I asked for $2.5 million.
Did he really? Yes. That's how he clarified it?
Basically, yeah.
Look, I know my worth.
That's how crazy this is.
Oh, boy, and that doesn't God. That doesn't that just speak though to the overarching confidence in his own behavior and his overarching confidence that there will be no ramifications, there will be no consequences for this.
Yeah, I mean, the audacity, the arrogance, the narcissistic attitude. I mean, it fits into the MAGA profile, right? And again, his wife, who sits on a school board in Florida, the only person that can actually throw her off is DeSantis, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who he's calling out Christian, the chair of the party, saying he should step down, but he won't get rid of the wife who sits on the school board.
That's fascinating.
Right.
But the Ziegler's, Christian and his wife, from what I have been reading.
Bridget, I think. Yeah.
Bridget, thank you.
Brings a bad name to Bridget's everywhere.
They're they're very influential in Republican Florida circles, right?
Absolutely. Super, super influential, huge in fundraising. It's really actually bled over and really hurting Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign, what's left of it.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot left, but it is a complete crap show down there in Florida right now, politically, for Republicans. I saw over the weekend there was a great cut of a former student. I don't quote me. I think it's the Sarasota School Board, but that Bridget sits on.
Yes. I saw this.
But this former student steps up at one of these school board meetings, and basically, to paraphrase, he goes, "You know what? You know, you should not be fired for having a consensual three-way. You know, because that's what you're trying to do to us with banned books and everything. You know, you should be fired because you're really awful at your job."
Yeah.
And I thought that was spot on. Yep. I thought that was great.
That's a great video clip. And the thing is like, two things. One, Florida, now's your chance. If you want to secede, just go ahead. Bye. But also, here's the question. You know, you've got Ron DeSantis' campaign in the dumpster. You've got, you know, what effects will that have on him as governor for a re-election in a couple of years? Mm. But more importantly, then, how do the Democrats in Florida utilize this and to their advantage? Can they, you know, they have some time to find candidates, run them in various elections, and really build up some sort of movement. Will they do it? Will they take this opportunity and run with it? That's the question I have, because, I mean, Ron DeSantis is apparently, his boots don't have lifts in them. They just have banana peels in them, because that's all he's doing. And there's got to be someone here who's going to take advantage of it.
Well, it will be interesting to see what happens in Florida, because also a lot of things that I've been reading about property insurance and home insurance are out of control.
Insurance companies won't even insure because of all the problems
in Florida. So. But I'm just wondering, if the Democratic Party is going to try and capitalize on this, what slogan do they use actually? We're pro three-way? I mean, how is that going to play out? I think that there may need to be some message massaging before they...
Let's not talk about massaging.
Menage a trois? That's right. We're pro menage a trois. The three of us, of course. Jane, Greg, and I, we're pro menage a trois.
We're menage a freedom.
So,
I'm just adding Kelvin to the mix as a group thing. Fantastic. Oh,
he's here to turn the cameras on.
All right. So over the weekend, as Christian Ziegler, the Florida Republican Party chairman, pleaded with the 40 members of the executive committee to save his job. Every statewide elected official calling for his resignation. Ziegler remained defiant, but eventually they ousted him.
Ousted who?
Of Ziegler.
Well,
he can cling to his job for now with no power or authority.
They stripped his finance. Yeah, I mean, he has
no money, right? They stripped his salary. Pretty much. So he's a figurehead right now with no purpose.
Yeah.
And no value.
I think the takeaway for me is, and I said this a bit last week, the serious part of this is here are people in positions of power over others or making decisions that affect others, condemning particularly young people who are exploring their sexuality, who are trying to find out who they are. And these people behind closed doors are doing exactly what they're condemning others for. Meanwhile, kids and suicide teen rates are going through the roof.
Yes.
And these people have the audacity to live different lives. And look, if people have consensual, whatever relationships behind closed doors, I'm cool with that.
Yep.
But what I'm not cool with is hypocrisy. And I'm certainly not cool with the accusations against Christian Ziegler of rape against a woman like that. And it's just, there's certainly a comedy bit to this, but there's also just a really sad, tragic side to it as well.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789. Joe McClear with a comment on the live stream, the Florida GOP's morning prayer today. Dear Lord, please give us the strength to find a way to incorporate three thumbs and extortion into our Christian belief systems.
Give it time, Joe. We got a text from the 920-WGBW, Jim from Appleton. I keep on forgetting this. Thank you for reminding me. And that is that Ron DeSantis cannot run for another term. I believe it's two terms done. You can run again, but he can't run again.
All right. Stay close. When we return, big news out of the Vatican this morning. Some very, very surprising news coming from Pope Francis. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along with us. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. Todd Alba joining us for his final Monday while Kristen has been on maternity leave. And you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can always leave a comment there as well. Before we move on to the news coming out of the Vatican, want to wrap things up talking about Christian Ziegler, the former head of the Republican Party in Florida, in some trouble after now being accused of rape and having a three-way sexual relationship. The motion was made to censure Ziegler over the weekend, and then they cut his salary to a buck, stripped him of all authority to act on behalf of the party, and deny reimbursements for him. Why are they letting him hang around? What is the point?
Didn't he also, like, tape?
It's believed that he taped the rape.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know why.
Why wouldn't you just kick him out? Yeah. I mean, he no longer has any authority. Why keep him as the ostensible figurehead of the Republican Party of Florida?
It makes absolutely
no sense. It's goofy to me because I'm not, obviously I don't know the bylaws there, but having been a former member of the Republican Party, I believe the Executive Committee of Republican Party Wisconsin hires the executive director, but the chairman is voted on by a larger contingent. So it could be that they perhaps, I don't know this, the one possibility is they would have to get so many delegates and a quorum and all that kind of stuff. Maybe he can't be actually voted out until the state convention. I don't know.
Interesting. Stephen from Green Bay has been waiting very patiently on the phone. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining us. Goes Wisconsin.
Good morning, guys. I was actually hoping to talk to you about the Pope. So if you guys want to go over that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Big news this morning out of the Vatican. Essentially, Pope Francis has formally approved allowing priests to bless same-sex couples, and out with a new document explaining a change in policies, insisting that people seeking God's love and mercy should not be subject to an exhaustive moral analysis. However, Todd, from what I understand, this is not giving approval to same-sex marriages. This is giving approval to blessing same-sex couples, provided it's completely separate from marriage. Is that the way you see it, Stephen?
I'm gonna start off by saying this. It has been an exhausting period in time to be a progressive Catholic. And the fact that this is coming out from the Pope, he's going to take heat from the far-right people in the Catholic Church for it. They're going to have nasty things to say about him. But it's not blessing same-sex marriages. You're correct on that. But it's a step in the right direction. The Catholic Church is far behind the times on this issue. And the fact that the figurehead of the Catholic Church is coming out and saying to priests that you can bless same-sex couples, it's not the end goal, but it's a step in the right direction. And as a progressive Catholic, it's a day for celebration for me, because it means that my religious beliefs and the beliefs that I have, because the Catholic faith is a very beautiful faith if you get outside the politics of it. But they're starting to move in the right direction. And it's a very positive thing for me being a Catholic. I'm going to tell my wife this, and my wife will be very happy about it, as she's been a Catholic her whole life. Thank God, for this news.
Well, and I certainly hear what you're saying, Stephen. This is a big move. I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic grade school, and this is a huge, huge move. But as you also pointed out, there's going to be a lot of outrage by some within the church, because Pope Francis is not necessarily all that popular, is he?
No. I mean, Pope Francis isn't that popular because you have to understand there's still a large number of traditional Catholics that are far right and, entrenched in their beliefs. And to them, this Pope Francis saying this is going to be completely beyond the pale to them. But what you also have to understand is there's a new wave of Catholics coming about that are more progressive. And I think Pope Francis knows this. And he knows that if he does not do some of these things, he's going to lose all the younger people that are joining the Catholic Church. And that is the future of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen, thank you, Stephen.
This is Todd. I think this is a great call, because I know young people in my life who grew up Catholic, and like you, they're like, we don't feel comfortable anymore going, because it just goes against what we believe in acceptance and loving one another. And I think Stephen's absolutely right. I think this is, let's just boil it down for a second. This is about money as much as anything, because if you lose people getting into going into the Catholic Church, like other, whether it's Protestant or any other form of religion, a lot of denominational religion are moving, or faiths are losing membership, because young people just don't go along with this. So I think it's a money thing, but I also think that Pope Francis has shown he's just a more progressive thinker. And, again, all roads lead back to Richland Center. One of these schmucks who's really throwing a fly in the ointment, Cardinal Robert Burke, one of the most big conservative guys, that it was thrown out of his apartment, by the way, in the Vatican by the Pope. Fantastic.
Real recently, too.
Yeah. And Cardinal Burke, originally from Richland Center, Wisconsin. There you go. A little trivia for you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this comes on the heels, too, of the Vatican court convicted a former advisor of financial crimes. So it seems like, you can't. It's interesting what's happening here. And as we discussed before we came on the air, these are suggestions. These are allowing the priests to do it. Whether or not they actually do it is a whole other thing. I bring that up because I think I told you the story, is I went to a Catholic mass months ago, and I was very shocked to see how hard right, how very unlike I had been used to going to church in the days. Like, it just felt very uncomfortable. He was very much about like praising the word of Jesus or you will be condemned. Like, I never felt that in church before. And I spoke to a friend of mine who'd been in Catholic ministry. We went to high school together. He went 12 years of school together and 20 years of ministry together. And I asked him, he said, yes, the priests are starting to reflect a more hardened right approach to their homilies, to their scripture choices, because they are vying for audience, and the audience in those Christian churches are starting to go more hard right. So the idea that the Pope would come out and say it's okay to bless same-sex marriages, I just wonder how the priests are taking this now. And honestly, I'm surprised the Pope is still, when I say around, I mean still Pope, not alive.
Right. But Greg, I grew up Methodist. I'm not, just like I left the Republican Party, I left the Methodist. I'm an independent both politically and religiously, okay. but I'm still a person of faith. But I find this fascinating. To your point, Greg, do you think that it's these older people in Catholic congregations who are the biggest financiers who want these more conservative homilies at the expense of bringing in new younger people who want a more broader approach, an inclusive approach?
I couldn't tell you that. All I could tell you is the priest who was giving the scripture reading and the homily was not much older than me, if maybe the same age.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
Party.
Talking about the news coming out of the Vatican this morning that Pope Francis has told the clergy that they can now bless same-sex couples, not marry same-sex couples, and not do it within the umbrella of marriage, but they are allowed to bless same-sex couples. Joe McClear being a little snarky. People will be very unhappy with the Pope. I propose he counters with the doctrine of, I'm Pope and you're not.
Punk.
Yes.
If you're a priest, you can go to a forest. You could say, good job, you two. And that's it. Go home.
Well, and in the grand scheme of things, and again, I was raised Catholic. And like you, Todd, I am now unaffiliated, I would say. But it was always my understanding that the New Testament was about forgiveness and turning the other cheek and loving thy neighbor as thyself. And all the smite them and the smiting and the smoting and all of that was pretty much Old Testament stuff. And Christ Jesus came along with a new message that was kinder and gentler.
Do you want me to sound a little bit more like you right now?
Okay.
Which is, the Old Testament was about the original recipe. The New Testament is rebranding.
I disagree. Well, it certainly was rebranded.
Yeah, it's taking this figure, the God, and making it a little gentler, a little nicer, and presenting that message of gentler and nicer through a character. It's like when they introduce Cousin Oliver into the Brady Bunch. You got a new person in there, and they're going to bring a new message and bring some cuteness and some fluff. And people are like, "We don't like this."
I think, I don't know, like. So I grew up in the Methodist Church, and I wouldn't say our family was super conservative, but certainly religion was a huge part of faith. And again, I'm still a person of faith. As someone who also happens to be gay, I will tell you that I believe I stayed in the closet until 38, well, certainly in my 20s, largely because of my faith, largely because I felt that the church would not accept someone, quote unquote, like me. I can't tell you how long I prayed. You know, I was born with a cleft palate, a speech impediment. I was a goofy, awkward kid. You know, sure, let's add being gay as one more thing to ostracize me and make me, you know.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, I tell people it wasn't a choice. And you struggle with who you are, but you also can be someone of faith at the same time. And not to go on to the theology tour, but finally, I just boiled it down to, I believe that the most important commandment of Christ is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that if you live if you're a person of faith and you do your best while living others or by helping others, I think that's what it boils down to, and that's where I had to begin to love myself. And you know what? I don't think God makes mistakes. And so he created me as goofy and as flawed as I am, but he still created me. And I think the point is that this step by Pope Francis, okay, so you can't have an actual marriage, you can't even have a civil marriage, you have a blessing. But you know what? If you're a kid in Catholic school, you at least look up to the leader of your church and you say, you know what? He doesn't hate me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really huge step for young people in the Catholic faith.
Well, yeah. And I think it's important to recognize that, considering the timeline of the Catholic Church, getting to this point really happened really speedily. Considering it took the Catholic Church over 200 years to forgive Galileo for correctly identifying that the Earth revolves around, you know, the sun and not the other way around. So this moved like lightning speed.
I mean, right. I'm hoping, I don't know of any because I don't go to any, but like what you just to what you're saying, Todd, as far as like a kid sitting in school and seeing the Pope as a figure who says, I understand and I love you because God loves you and Jesus loves you. I hope there are schools. I hope there are teachers who reflect that those teachings because, you know, we're talking a lot about this. Being a young gay kid in these private schools can be a scary situation. Yeah. And I just hope they find some comfort and some safety in that because it's important.
I always like to add to these discussions, if you or someone else are facing mental health issues, just pick up the phone. Dial 988.
Yes.
There's always somebody standing by, thanks to our great U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and others. 988, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Absolutely. All right, stick around. Coming up, by the way, after 11 o'clock, Dan Lentz from Law Forward. Very excited to have him. He's going to be joining us to talk about the redistricting case going before our Wisconsin Supreme Court. So that will be coming up. When we return, though... Oh, what a painful day it was. Packers Sunday. We'll do a recap. And apparently, right. Joe Barry has to die. So we'll
what? Be... Well, whoa! That's it's taken a turn on As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm just repeating what I'm seeing. Stay with
figuratively
us.
Figuratively speaking, of course.
This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wisconsin, thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin on the board. Todd Alba joining us on the stream. And you can always call or text at 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Always love to hear from you. Packers fans not very happy after yesterday's 34-20 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And all I'm seeing all over social media is how mad everybody is at defensive coordinator Joe Barry. It was not a good game to watch.
My granddad used to say, no fun, no fun at all.
Was he whittling too? Like, no fun. No fun at all.
He was an old farmer, dairy farmer from Southwest Wisconsin. So, you know, yeah. Granddad had some sage wisdom. He'd say it like it was. But no, and I think, you know, most people, and a lot of people, I should say, really were done with Joe Barry after last week's loss. And it just adds up. And look, I couldn't go out there and be the defensive coordinator and do a better job. But I think there are other people out there. And, you know, is it going to be Jimmy Leonard making a return? I mean, he was offered this job a couple of years ago and turned it down to stay at Wisconsin. And then, of course, that whole program got blown up. And you know, he finds himself as a special consultant for Brett Bielema down in Illinois right now. But he still lives, Jimmy Leonard does, in Cross Plains, Wisconsin, just outside of Madison. So do the Packers go back after the season and try to get Jimmy Leonard to come back and take care of the defense for the Packers? I don't know. Head coach of the Packers, Matt LaFleur, wasn't going there yesterday. And if you're in his position, I mean, you get it, right? I mean, what are you going to do? Stand up there and say, yes, I made a terrible mistake, but keep him around. He's gone. I mean, you're not going to fire the guy in front of everybody. Yeah. And I'm not sure at this point in the season whether it matters, whether he does or doesn't. But I think this is not a new problem. If you look at the Packers' defense, this has been something that's kind of been progressively getting worse over the last two or three seasons. I can't imagine how they bring Joe Barry back for another season.
Well, Greg brought this up off the air, just about how interesting it is that Joe Barry's the one getting all the heat.
Yeah, they're not calling for the firing of Matt LaFleur, which is usually when football teams are, or any team. I mean, look at the Bucks. The Bucks aren't doing as perfectly as the fans want. So they're calling for the head coach to be fired. Like, it just seems to me that it's interesting that Matt LaFleur isn't the one being offered to the chopping block.
I would, and again, look, I'm no Mike Clemens, but I would say, looking at the history of the Packers, that if you look at, you know, I think people associate Matt LaFleur more with his offense, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, what he did when he had Aaron Rodgers, of course, Rodgers was a large part of that. But now, even this year with Jordan Love, there have certainly been times where the offenses look spectacular, and Jordan Love has had great games. So I think, you know, I can't speak for all Packer fans, but maybe the sentiment, Greg, to your point is, look, we're willing with a quarterback change, the fact there have been some bright moments this year in an offense, we're willing to kind of give LaFleur another season here to see how he and Love kind of gel and develop together.
Okay.
Versus, again, the defense, this ain't something that just happened the last six games. This has been two, three seasons. I mean, there were people that wanted him gone a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they kind of, you know, were deferential and said, well, he's got to get some more of his own guys and blah, blah, blah in the draft. It just hasn't been consistent, and it just breaks down too often. And I think the sense is, I heard this on the Packer playback on, I was listening to WRCO Richland Center, one of our civic media affiliates that carry the Packers, and a great caller. This caller should have been an analyst, and he added it up. It was like the last 20-some games that the Packers lost by a touchdown, that if you just had one or two other players, the Packers would be in a much better position over the last season and a half to two seasons.
Yeah.
So maybe the thinking is you're a player or two away on offense, and if you just do a couple of guys on defense and get a different system, you're in.
All right.
We're talking about yesterday's Packers loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was painful. It was 34-20, and all the calls now focusing on getting rid of defensive coordinator Joe Barry. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before and with some of our sports reporters who have been on. I've always heard the adage, especially when the Packers finally won that first Super Bowl with under Brett Favre in the 90s, that defense is what wins Super Bowls. I mean, obviously, you have to be able to get points on the board, and that's, you know, critical, but it's the defense being able to hold the line and getting some sacks and getting some right interceptions and stuff.
Reggie White, the Minister of Defense,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, Gilbert Brown, the Gravedigger, who was on with Earl this morning.
Right.
I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, I mean, these guys that can really just tackle and go after people. It takes a lot of pressure, both mentally and physically, off of your offense if you can hold the opposition down. So, yeah, defense is hugely important.
By the way, you probably didn't have a chance to hear this, Todd, but when Earl was talking to Gilbert Brown earlier this morning, now, just to remind folks that Gilbert and Earl had made a bet about the Packers-Lions game, and Earl lost the bet, and what Gilbert wanted him to do was to dye his hair black. Earl had gray hair. And he actually thanked Gilbert this morning for losing the bet, because at the Christmas party over the weekend, all everyone did was compliment on how young
it looks.
He looks
good.
He looks the man. I'm not making this up. The man looks fantastic.
He's knocking on 70 years old, and he does not look 70.
Oh my God, he looks like he's in his 40s.
Yes, 100%. And he was dressed. I mean, he had a fly jacket on, as the kids say. Do the kids say that, Kelvin?
Todd, they said that when we were kids. he had Riz, right, Calvin? He had Riz.
Oh, Riz, is
there
that
it?
Is.
Right. His drip had Riz.
Yes, he had Riz for sure. All right.
It was slap.
It was that too.
Oh, no.
What is coming up on the Todd Alba program this afternoon?
You know, we got State Senator Keldon Royce is going to be joining us live in the 12 o'clock hour and doing a little year in review on women's reproductive rights and what could be ahead in 2024. And then tomorrow, a special two-hour show, we have Brigadier General David May from the Wisconsin Air National Guard. And in a very rare and exclusive time, he is going to be taking callers. He will call in tomorrow during the show. Your chance to ask Brigadier General David May anything is on your mind about the Wisconsin Air National Guard. So a couple of great days coming up.
Very My first question would be, spell Brigadier fast now.
Todd Alba, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so very, very, very much.
Well, thank you guys.
The last couple
thanks
of
for
Mondays.
Putting up with,
stick around.
Thanks for putting up with me. I appreciate it, and have a great show.
You as well. News is coming up next. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network.